the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your light that is shining upon our hearts and minds and souls. We thank you for your truths you have revealed unto us. You said in your word that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you for showing us your truth through several teachings in this ministry. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to allow the truth to make us free. Blessed be your holy name. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the battles you fought for us, even the battles of the enemy that are targeted to steal away our souls from you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us, even spiritual breakthroughs, to have more growth and advancement in the things of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for new relationships you have brought into our lives. Thank you for connecting us with people who have the same enlightenment that we have. People who have love for God like we have. And people who are able to share revelations of Jesus Christ with us. Thank you, faithful Lord. We thank you for all the topics we have discussed on this platform, on the Bible study classes. We thank you for how you have spoken your mind to us through those topics. And we thank you for how you have used these topics to change our lives for good, even to influence our ministries positively. Thank you, Father. I ask, Father, that as we will be having another class session tonight, that you bless us with revelations. Bless us with understanding. Bless us with insights, illumination into your word, into your will, into your truths, in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you make it difficult for every distraction the devil has set in place to weaken the effectiveness of this teaching. I ask, Father, that you remove all those distractions from everyone that will be listening now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do more than we have asked. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you all to the Lord's presence. And I believe as you pay attention to these teachings, the Lord shall speak to you the best way you will understand. Amen. If you remember, from the last class, we have been dealing with hindrances to our relationship with God. Hindrances. Yeah, hindrances to our relationship with God. So I'm going to move to point B right now. Point B says, becoming caught up with the world and its keys. Point A says, being too busy to take time with him. Yeah, and I already talked on that. So point B is becoming caught up with the world and cares of the world. Yeah, so this is another point, or maybe I should say this is another entrance to your relationship with God. Becoming caught up with the world and its cares. We can also use the word entangled. Becoming entangled. Becoming distracted. Becoming enslaved with the world and cares of the world. Yeah, so you have to pay attention to this particular point very well, because this is where many fell away from their walk with God. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, where Jesus was talking now, was explaining the meaning of the parable of the sower. You will see in that verse where he said the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches shook the world. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches shook the world. So Jesus likened the cares of this world to be thorns. You know, in that parable, he said the farmer went to plant seed, and some seed fell on the roadside, some seed fell on the rocks, some fell on the thorns, and some fell on the good ground. Yeah, and then he said the ones that fell on the thorns is, you know, stands for people who, after they have heard the word of God, the message of the kingdom of God, they allowed the keys of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke the word they have received. Yeah, to shock it, or maybe I should use the word kill, to kill the truth they have received. Yeah, and this is a very serious problem in the body of Christ. Yeah, over the years, from the time I became born again, and from the time I began to grow in the knowledge of God, and, you know, I've attended churches, programs, I mean Christian programs, conferences, meetings. Yeah. And I saw how powerful many of these meetings were. Yeah. I know we still have meetings like that even today, like conferences and prayer meetings and retreats and convention, you know, all those, or campaign programs, you know, all those programs that ministries and churches organize, where they bring a lot of people together, sometimes a lot of youths, sometimes both children, youths and adults, they come together in a location, and in those campaign programs, you will receive you receive teachings, you receive prayers, strategic prayers. There will be a moment of intercessions. There will be a moment of impartations. I don't know if you have attended camping programs of such nature before. Yeah, there will be several spiritual exercises and several spiritual packages that would bless people's lives, especially people who are in attendance. Yeah, so I saw how powerful these programs could be, but I noticed something. That thousands would attend such meetings, but few days or weeks after the meeting has ended and everyone have departed to their locations, I began to see that there was no change in the lives of people who went for such programs. It looked as if they did not attend such program. It looks as if they did not hear those powerful teachers. You know, it will look as if, or it looked as if, they just went there to waste their time. Yeah, because I that was there, I who attended that program, I encountered God in a way that my life was changed. Yeah. So I used to go to missionary outreaches. Yeah, in those days we go to villages. Yeah, interior villages to preach the gospel. I'm talking of villages that that are very rural, like rural areas, not developed. Yeah, we have to go through a lot of sacrifices to preach the gospel to the people. You know, sleep in uncomfortable places where you've been beaten by mosquitoes, very harsh weather, very harsh, very cold weather and stuff like that. Yeah, I encountered God in many of those programs. And I can say that what I am today is a product of such meetings the Holy Spirit led me to attend at those times. They changed my life up to now. So I realized that the way those programs impacted me was not the same way it impacted others. So I realized that I was just maybe one of the very few people who were actually transformed through such meetings. Yeah. And while I was, considering these things, while I was pondering on them, I came to this same scripture that Jesus talked about. I find myself looking at this same scripture or this same verse where Jesus said that these people, after they have heard the word, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, after they have heard the word, they allow the keys of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to shock the world they have heard. Yeah. So the question is, have you allowed the keys of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to kill the word of truth God spoke to you through his teachers and preachers? Have you allowed these keys of this world to kill the truth God gave you, the truth that is meant to change your life? Yeah, I also remember when I was in the campus, when I was still in the university, or maybe you can call it tertiary institution. Yeah, we used to have Christian Fellowship of Students. And at that time, we have a lot of vibrant believers, a lot of believers who are revived, who carry the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of them. I'm talking of believers who are manifesting spiritual gifts. They see visions, they can prophesy, and some, God used them even for healing miracles. So these are believers that are prayer warriors, they are intercessors, they speak in tongues and all of that. Yeah, and I'm always excited to be among them. Yeah, but something happened. Not long after we left school, we graduated, everyone passed out of the institution. I began to see that these people who were vibrant, were full of fire. These people who were, strong in faith. I began to see a downfall. I don't know if that's the right word to use. I began to see them go down. Yeah, because the next thing you hear about them, you'll be surprised what we began to hear about them after they have left the school environment was very heartbreaking. Yeah, some of them even went into the world as though they were never Christians before. And these were people who were spirit-filled. Yeah, at those times we were in school, they were very spiritual. But now, they are something else. Yeah. So what is the problem? The problem is this same scripture in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Jesus said, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches shook the world in their hearts. Yeah, so that's why I'm asking the question, that have you also allowed the cares of this world to shook the truth, to kill the light you have, the truth you have? So we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful, because Christianity can be likened to, or maybe I should say the Christian faith can be likened to holding a egg in your hand. Can be likened to holding a egg in your hand. You know how fragile egg is. So that is why Apostle Paul said that you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, so the Christian faith is like you're holding an egg which can fall and break at any time. And even the Bible told us about some people whose faith suffered shipwreck. Yeah, shipwreck. You know when a ship on the sea suddenly capsized and everyone in the ship died. Yeah, so your Christian faith is so fragile that you can lose it. Just as pure, that is if you are pure, like right now, if you are pure, just as pure as you are now, you can be the worst sinner in few minutes if you are not careful. Yeah. Yeah, let's say as righteous as you are now, that is if you are righteous now, in few minutes, you can be the worst, you can be more worse, or you can be far worse than the worst sinners out there, if you're not careful. So I've seen people's lives, I mean Christians, I've seen Christians transformed into something very worse than unbelievers, just in a matter of days. Why? Because they were not careful. Yeah, they were not careful. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. So what is the case of this word? Yeah, when we say case of this word, what are they? What do they consist? Yeah, it's very simple. Many of you know what the case of the word is. When you discover that your body is dirty, you go to the bathroom to take a shower. That's case of the word. You are hungry. You go to the kitchen and cook and eat. That's case of the word. There's a program they do on the TV. You sit down to watch the program. That's case of the word. Your mobile phone. You open Facebook. Or you open YouTube and you begin to stream videos. Those are cases of the world. So some of the cases of the world, they are not necessarily sinful. Whereas somehow, yeah, like you go to your place of work so that you can make some money. Those are cases of the world. So everything we do in the world, they are cases of the world. Everything people care so much about in their daily activities, apart from the things of God's kingdom. Yeah. Apart from maybe preaching the gospel, teaching, soul winning, anything that has to do with the gospel. Apart from that, the rest, they are cares of the world. So we must be careful how we get involved with those cares of the world. Some people want destroyed their relationship with God once they care of getting married, or the desire of getting married. Some is the desire to have children. Yeah, that was what destroyed their relationship with God. Some is the desire to have some properties, like to have land, to have a car, to build houses. Yeah, that is what the devil used to destroy their relationship with God. So everything you care about in this world is a potential weapon in the hand of the devil to destroy your relationship with God. Whether they look good or not, or whether they look sinful or they are not sinful, anything you care about, anything your flesh, your body cares about in this world, write it down, is a potential weapon in the hand of Satan to destroy your salvation and to disconnect you from God. So whether you care about your children so much, or you care about your husband or your wife, or you care about anything, so believe me, devil, if devil wants to attack your salvation, the first thing he will do is to go after the things you care about in this world. If you care so much about money, then that's what devil will use. If you care so much about relationships, there are some people, they cannot stay without relationships. I mean, I'm talking about emotional relationships, or how will I put it now? Should I call it sexual relationships or ungodly relationships? Yeah, some people, they can't just stay alone and just be alone with God. Yeah, they feel like, I must have someone I'm dating, or I must have someone that is my boyfriend or that is my girlfriend. I must have someone, someone, yeah, I must have a special relationship with an opposite sex. So some, if they don't have that, they are not comfortable. Then they will not, you know, they will never be strong in their spiritual life. Yeah, they will never be strong. So that particular thing you care so much about, watch it. Because it is possible that that is what the devil will use to bring you down in your walk with God. Yeah. So Jesus talked about deceitfulness of riches. Yeah. Some people, they are not contented. They are not contented with the little God is giving to them by time. Yeah. I realize that God is responsible and committed to taking care of his children on a daily basis. That's what I realized. You know, as a full-time minister who happened to leave his job at the point to serve God full-time, I realized that God is committed to always give us, I'm talking now about every Christian. God is committed to always give you your daily bread. If you are living a holy life, if you are living in obedience, God is committed to always give you your daily bread. It might not be what you are expecting. It might not be the volume you want, but God is committed to always take care of his children, even those that are in countries that looks like the economy is worse and there is starvation, there is, you know, serious poverty. Even in those countries, God is still committed to taking care of his children. So, but many of us, we are not contented. We are not contented with the little God is sending to us per time. So that's why some Christians, they will have budgets that are too bigger than what God has prepared to give them at that time or season. Yeah, so and because they set up these big budgets for themselves, and they feel like, I have to just do this thing this year, I have to do this, I have to have a car this year, I have to own a house this year. Who said that? Who said it has to happen this year? Has God said that? And even if God said that, then let God do it. Why go after borrowing loans, borrowing money? Yeah, because you want to achieve something. Something that God has not sponsored. Yeah, so I realized the lack of contentment has made many believers to fall away from the faith. Yeah. Because we are always looking for big things that God has not approved for us to have them at the moment. Yeah, but because we cannot just be satisfied with the little he's given to us at the moment. You know, we now go into things we're not supposed to go into. And that's how many Christians fail. Now, I'm not trying to say that those things you desire to have as a woman or as a man or as a Christian, I'm not saying God can't give you. But God has his own time in a calendar, he's following. Yeah, and you can't force him to do anything outside of the time he has set for those things. That's another thing I have learned over the years. Yeah, I realized that I can't force God to do things that he has not, you know, that is not, it is not yet time for them to happen in my life. So the same applies to every Christian. Yeah, so don't go after things that that you cannot get. Yeah. Don't pursue after things you cannot get. It's better to pray about them and say, God, I need this. Provide it for me. And when you have prayed, then leave it there. Yeah, if the Holy Spirit wants you to pray the same prayer tomorrow, pray again and leave it there and let God answer. Not that after you have prayed, you are now looking for how to answer your prayer point. It is not in your power to answer the prayers you have prayed. It is in God's power to answer prayers, not you. Yeah, so many people are falling away from in their relationship with God or in their walk with God because of the deceitfulness of riches. And what is the deceitfulness of riches? The deceitfulness of riches is most seen in greed. Greed. Yeah. Wanting to have more. Wanting to have more. Yeah. Not being satisfied with little. Yeah. That is the deceitfulness of riches. I pray for you that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches will not take away your soul from Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so you need to watch out for this thing. You need to watch out for this thing. It's a danger sign. Yeah, now let's look at another thing about deceitfulness of riches is following wrong opportunities, following wrong financial opportunities, because somebody came with an idea, or somebody came with a suggestion that there's a program or there's an investment, and if you do it, you're gonna make more money. And then you went to invest in such thing, and you lose a lot of money. That is deceitfulness of riches. Some people call it get rich quick syndrome. Get rich quick syndrome. Yeah, when you're always looking for ways to get rich, you're always looking for ways to get rich very quick. Yeah, you're not willing to work hard. You're not willing to sow seeds. Yeah, you're not willing to make sacrifices. Yeah, but you're looking for a very quick way to make money. You know, there's always seed time and harvest time. There's always a time you plant seed. Yeah, and just as when people plant seeds in agriculture, they have to wait for a period of time before they start harvesting. The same applies to almost all areas of life. Yeah, so if you want to be rich, work towards it, both spiritually, prayerfully, and even in your career. So don't embrace opportunities that God has not sent into your life. Especially opportunities that, you know, that promise you that you will get very rich so quickly. You have to really pray about such opportunities if they are from God, because most opportunities, they are not from God. Yeah, all these kind of investments where they promise to double your money, triple your money within some maybe few weeks or few months, some of them, they are very wrong and they don't actually work. They are deceitfulness of riches. So watch out for those things. Yeah. Let's also look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, it's saying the same thing. Now don't become entangled with your fears of this life. Don't become entangled with your fears of this life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 and also 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. I think I sent this particular scripture to the group platform a few days ago. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah. So the question is, do you love the world? If it is yes, then it means the love of the Father is not in you. I so much love the Bible. It's straightforward. Sometimes the Bible is like a computer system, or the Bible is a I don't know how to use I don't know the word to use to describe it. The Bible can be likened to some of these instruments they use in the hospital to check the condition of your body. Yeah, like thermometer, like a sphygmomanometer, the one they used to check your blood pressure. Yeah, they call it sphygmomanometer. Yeah, and some other instrument like that, like ECG machine to check your heart. Yeah, sometimes the Bible is just like that. Yeah, so you can use the Bible to check your life, and not only that, you can even use the Bible to confirm your destiny, to confirm who you really are, and to predict the future. Yeah, so like in that verse, it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can predict your future from that verse. So you look at your life right now and ask yourself, do I love the world? So if the answer is yes, then that means the love of the Father, like automatically it means the love of the Father is not in you. And if the love of the Father is not in you, then you can't fulfill your ministry. Yeah, it's not the cause. That's why I said you can use the Bible to predict your future. If the love of God is not in you, then you cannot have a successful ministry or a successful calling. I'm referring to those of you that have a call of God. Yeah, you can't, because there are some sacrifices you won't be able to pay to serve God and to serve God's people. You won't be, if you don't have the love of the Father in you, you can't pay those prices. Yeah, there are things I do in our groups, in our platforms, or in this ministry, that is because of the love of the Father or the love of Christ in my heart, not because of any other thing. Yeah, so meaning that if I don't have the love of the Father, I won't do those things. Yeah, because I feel like, after all, Everyone have problems they are dealing with. Everyone have issues they are dealing with. So let me just face my own issues and deal with it. And let me just take a break. Maybe after 1 month, I'll come back and continue to preach and teach and lead prayer sessions and all that. Yeah, but I can't do that. I can't just walk away from the work of God. Why? Because of the love of the Father. Yeah. So like that's just an example. So my point is that without the love of the Father, you can't fulfill your divine calling or ministry. You can be famous, maybe you have a way to achieve that by yourself. You can be a popular preacher, but before God, your ministry is not approved because you can't have a successful ministry without love in your heart. You have to be able to love even the people that hate you. You have to be able to go and preach to people that you know they're going to attack you and persecute you and stuff like that. Yeah, but that's just an example. So like I said, ask yourself a question. Do I love the world? Yeah. Or do I have the keys of the world in me? If the answer is yes, then it means you don't have the love of the Father in you. Yeah. Like I have said it before. I have said it before that I didn't know how much God loved me until I began to die to self. In fact, I wasn't grateful to God until I began to kill the cares of this world, kill the lust of my flesh, kill pride of life. Then I began to realize that God has actually been so good to me. I began to realize that God has been helping me for a long time, but I wasn't saying that. All I was saying is, I need this, and God has not provided it yet. I want that. I've not received it yet. I prayed this prayer. I did these fastings. I did these dry fastings. And I've not seen the results yet. So I was always thinking about what God has not done yet. What God has not given to me yet. I've not gotten to this level yet. I never knew that God has done so much more than what I've not gotten yet. I never knew. But until the cares of the world and lust of the flesh died, then I now realized that, wow, God have really been so good to me. I now become more grateful to God. Yeah, so that is what this verse is talking about. So you will not love God if you have not gotten rid of cares of this world in your heart. You will not be able to love God. If you tell me that you love God, I will tell you are a liar, you don't love God. I mean, if you tell me you love God, while I can still see in your life cares of this world, I mean, I can still see that you are being enslaved by the cares of this world. You are being entangled with the cares of this world. While I can still see those things as a preacher or as a man of God, and then while I'm looking at those things, you tell me that you love God, I will tell you that you don't love God. Why? Because you can't love God. At the same time, you are entangled with the cares of this world. It's not possible. You can't love God at the same time you are enslaved to the systems of this world, to the pleasures of this world. It's not possible. It can't work. It's not possible. So that is why I said the Bible can be likened to a testing instrument that you use to check your life. Yeah, I'm praying for you that the power the keys of this world have over your soul shall be broken right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so let's move forward. We are talking about hindrances to our relationship with God. And we've just talked about becoming caught up with the world and its keys. Yeah, and its keys. So now we are moving to number C. Another entrance to our relationship with God. Number C says cooling off and losing our first love. Cooling off. Cooling as in when something that is very hot is now getting cold. Yeah, cooling off and losing our first love. Yeah, so what does that mean? The way you loved God at that time, you newly gave your life to Him. The way you were so passionate about so winning, the way you were so passionate about growing spiritually, the way you were so committed to fasting, to fervent prayers, to studying the Word of God and meditation, to, you know, attending powerful church meetings and church programs and all of that, can be likened to your first love. So those things you began to do, those spiritual exercises, you began to do with great passion and hunger and desire at the time you newly met Jesus, can be likened to your first love. So the question is, are you still doing them? Are you still very devoted like those days? Are you still very fervent in spirit like those days? Yeah, one of the secrets of spiritual, or maybe I should use the word drastic spiritual growth, is never to lose your first love. Yeah. Yeah, that's a secret to growing very fast spiritually, is never to lose your first love. So those things that the love of Christ in you, you know, compelled you to start doing at the time you newly became saved or born again, if you can continue in those things, if you had continued in those things, you wouldn't be where you are now. I'm so sure about that. I can tell you the truth. If those, you know, those spiritual exercises you began to do at the time you newly know, you know, you newly met with the Lord and gave your life to Him, if you had continued in those things, you would have so much grown and advanced in the things of God by now. Yeah, so that is why our first love is not to be lost. Your first love is to continue forever. Like myself now, the way I was since the time I gave my life to Christ, or I was saved or born again, is still the way I am now. The zeal has not changed. The love kept on growing, kept on increasing. It didn't go down. Yeah, so that is why I can be where I am now. I believe you get my point. So that is why I can have the kind of spiritual growth I have now. Because I never at a point lost my first love. Though there were problems, there were trials, there were temptations, there were challenges, but I never at a point messed up. I never at a point left God or lost my first love. And that is why even as at now, I am at this spiritual level. Yeah, and many of you know about my spirituality because you have received of my ministry. So you know that God has helped me to have some spiritual growth. Yeah, God has helped me to grow spiritually to the point that I mentor people that are even much more older than my mom. They are my students. Yeah, or they are my mentees. I mentor them and they are so happy to learn from me because they feel like I have wisdom of an 80-year-old. Yeah, but it's not like I did something special. It's just that I refused to lose that first love. I continued in that first love. That's just the difference. It's not like maybe I'm one kind of special person. I believe anyone can be better than I am. Yeah, I so much believe that. I believe all of you here can be far, far better than I am. Far, far greater than I am. Far, far wiser than I am. Even more, far more anointed than I am. Yeah. So I believe what made the difference is that I refused to lose my first love when I found that relationship with Christ. I continued. Yeah. Despite the trials, the challenges, the temptations, I continued. Even when I was too weak to continue, I cried to God in fasting, and He helped me, and I'm able to still continue. Yeah. So if we don't lose our first love, we would enjoy God a lot. Yeah. Because everything will start getting more clearer to you. Yeah. Some of you, your level of spiritual knowledge is still very shallow and too small for your age in Christ. I'm not talking about your birth age. I'm talking about your Christian age. As in, I'm talking about the time you gave your life to Christ till now. I'm not talking of your birth age, like the day your parents gave birth to you till now. I'm talking about the day you give your life to Christ till today. Some of you, your level of knowledge of God is too small for that age. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Your level of wisdom, your level of faith, your level of strength, spiritual strength, your level of spiritual authority, your level of spiritual dominion, it's too small, yeah, and too shallow. And it's because you don't take this issue of first love seriously. You know, some people, they are hot today, and then tomorrow, they are cold. The following day, they are hot. The other one, they are cold. Yeah, so you have not learned how to maintain the fire of the Holy Ghost in your spirit. You have not learned how to continue to be hot, how to continue to be strong, despite whatever happened to you, despite any situation. Yeah, so this is very vital. This is your first love and to continue in it. Jesus was speaking to some Hebrews or some Israelite or some Jews, I can use that word. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Yeah, I can look for that verse. I think it's in John chapter 8. Yeah, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. Yeah, it's in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Which means you can receive the word and not continue in the word. You can receive the truth and not continue in the truth. So I believe whatever level of success I have attained in life, spiritually, I believe it's because I continued in the world. Yeah. And I did not leave. Yeah. Now, let me say this. You know, some believers are so weak that if any problem happened to them, like right now, they are going to fall from the faith. Yeah, maybe something very strong happened to their marriage. Yeah, to their marriages, or happened to their finances. Maybe suddenly they woke up and then they saw that all the money in the bank account is gone. Yeah, they feel like, what? All the money I've been laboring to gather for years just gone? Oh my God. And then the next thing is they don't go to church anymore. They don't pray anymore. They don't fast anymore. I'm not saying bad things will happen to Christians, but what I'm saying is that some believers are too weak that if any problem, as a very strong problem, happens to them, they will lose everything. Yeah, and they will fall back into the world. And this is because they have not continued in the word of God. They have not grown. Yeah. There was a time the Lord was talking to me about the present church and the deadly attacks coming from the kingdom of darkness on Christians in these last days. Yeah. So he said devil is about to attack the church in a very strong way. I mean the global church. And then he said, if this happens, many Christians, billions of Christians, will lose their salvation. They will fall. And it's already happening. Yeah, it's already happening. Yeah, so now is the time to take your love of Christ to the next level, your love relationship with God. Take it to a higher level. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, yeah, you will see. I don't want to read that because of time. You can read it, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. It confirms what I talked about. And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it talks about a sign of the last days. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold, meaning the love of God in the hearts of many shall wax cold. Let's say, for instance, somebody suddenly come to you and offer you a large amount of money. And then the person said, you just need to do one thing for me. I'm going to give you this large amount of money, but you just have to start exposing your body. Start wearing clothes that expose your body. So once you do that for me, you're already a billionaire. And then you feel like, what? Is it not to just wear clothes? Oh, I'm ready for it. It means the love of Christ in you has waxed cold. If you can allow anything in this world to make you deny your faith, to make you do contrary to the will of God, then you have allowed, then the love of God in your heart is cold or probably even dead. Some parents, they feel like, my children, they have nothing to eat. I have to give them something. Yeah, I have to provide for my kids. I have to provide for my family. And because of that, they went into sinful things. They said, God, you can see, I don't want to do this, but my children, they need something to eat. They don't have food. I can't pay their school fees. I can't take care of them as a mother, as a father. So I just have to sleep with this man. I just have to fornicate. I just have to commit adultery because I have to take care of my family. That is foolishness. That is wrong. Yeah, very wrong. It means the love of Christ in your life is dead. I won't even use the word once cold. Yeah. So there should be nothing in this world that will make you compromise with sin. Nothing in this world. So if there's this something you can, you know, you can consider at some point and say, God understands. I can still do this and, you know, God won't feel mad at me. Even though it's contrary to the word of God, and then you feel like I can still do this. Then the love of Christ in you is cold or dead. Yeah, so let us watch out. This is the last days. Watch out. Yeah, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, yeah, it also confirmed the point where Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Yeah, so I'm going to stop very soon. Yeah. Next week we'll go to the next point. Yeah. So I just want to emphasize on this issue of your love waxing cold. Yeah. And my emphasis is on staying alive at this time. Staying alive spiritually. Staying alive spiritually. I think I've said it some time ago, or maybe I've not said it before. Yeah, that I grew spiritually to a point whereby I could always discern every atmosphere and everything that is contrary to my spiritual well-being. I could always know when something is trying to kill my fire. I could always know almost instantly if I'm talking to someone and I realize that the conversation is not spiritual. The conversation I'm having with that person is affecting my spiritual health. immediately I don't talk to the person again. I don't want to know who the person is. It could be my mother, it could be my brother. As long as I discover that the conversation between us is creating an atmosphere of spiritual death, or spiritual coldness, or spiritual pollution, I stop the conversation. Instantly, I stop it. So the person can be talking, I won't talk again. I'll just be looking or smiling. Yeah, I'm smiling because I want to stay alive spiritually. Yeah, I'm not responding to those conversations because I want to live spiritually. I've come to a point whereby I hate spiritual death. I know when I am dying spiritually and I come out of everything that is pointing to spiritual death, I don't get involved in it. So be it quarrel, be it getting hungry, having bitterness, unforgiveness. So everything that I know is going to lead me to spiritual death, I don't get involved in it. Though this has made many people think, maybe I should use the word take me for granted. But I don't even care. It has made many people, you know, feel like I'm stupid. Yeah, but I love to be stupid if my stupidity is going to help me to stay alive spiritually. Then I want to be stupid. I want to be foolish if my foolishness will help me to stay alive in the spirit. Then I want to be foolish. Yeah. So I made up my mind that anything whatsoever is going to kill my spiritual flame or flames, then I don't want it around me. In fact, I've met a lot of people over the years in ministry. I've met very rich people, very wealthy people, influential people. But when I discovered that our conversation is now affecting my spiritual health and livelihood, my spiritual connection with God, I block them. I don't care what they promise to do for me. I don't care. I don't care. Maybe they want to give me something, a building or a car or whatever. I don't care. All I care about is nothing will take me from the atmosphere of life that I have embraced in Christ Jesus. So I don't know if you want to copy that from my life. I'm just telling you a testimony of myself, because Apostle Paul said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah. So if you can do that, then I believe you will grow very fast. Yeah, and you will do well in your spiritual walk with God. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. So I'm leaving you with this point, or with this word: stay alive spiritually. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, Apostle Paul said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So stay alive. Stay alive. Be not carnally minded. Be not worldly minded. Be spiritual all the time. Stay alive. So I leave you with that word. If you have questions, you can put it on the group, and I will look at them. Yeah, let us pray. King of glory, we thank you for your faithful God. We thank you for letting us know things we have to avoid, so that we can build a very strong connection and relationship with you. Lord, God, I am asking that you help everyone who have listened to this teaching. Lord, help everyone to get rid of all the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches, to get rid of all the systems and principles of this world that are against your kingdom and your presence. Lord, help everyone to get rid of these things in Jesus' name. I am praying for you that you will not feel God at this time. I pray that when the Lord is testing you, when the Lord is watching to see how much you really love him and care for his work, you will not feel God in Jesus' name. You will not misbehave in Jesus' name. You will not do things that will make you to lose the special place God has placed you in his heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, remain blessed and stay alive.
Goodbye.